that he's already been giving us in the past, but that basically this is building up even to a higher escalation, because in the past few months the Lord has been telling us, so you can go ahead and get started back there, but the last few months the Lord has been telling us that he does not work outside of his word, that basically, and he's been showing us how important his word is. He's been showing us how important for us to really, really have our minds transformed by the renewing, okay? Letting the word transform our mind. And as our mind is transformed, we're becoming less conformed by the ways of this world. He said for us not to be conformed by the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So how we get transformed by the renewing our minds is for our mind is the soul in the seat of our emotions and our will. So therefore, God created our mind so he could continue creating through us. And so basically, he is the creator, and he's a God of creation, and he's always creating. And he's continuing to create through man. So basically, what the Lord is doing is teaching us that and showing us just how much word you have conceived. And that's really I want really you to get a hold of today, because as you conceive the word, God proves to you by putting you through a test to just show you how much word you do have in you. And that's the only reason that you have a wilderness experience. That's the only reason that you have a fire experience, because it exposes just how much the soul, which is the mind, has been transformed and has conceived the word. Conception, we'll go into conception later on as to how you conceive the word in the soul. Because basically, we want to go into that later on. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But basically, I really want to start with Christ himself. Because basically, what I really want to teach you today is to how to allow him to operate through you. Also, how to operate in the word. Also, how to allow him to release his power out of you. And the best one that I can give you as an example is Christ himself. Because basically, you must understand that the presence of God and the power of God is two different things. That when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you received the Holy Spirit then. You received the presence of God then. But you are not endued with power then. They're two definite experiences. So the presence of God and the power of God is two different things. The presence of God is what calms the mind down. It's what brings the soul back in alignment with God's thoughts. Right. It's what brings the soul back into the rest of God. And when we understand that the tree of life is nothing but wisdom and understanding. So you gain wisdom and understanding through experiencing the word and through the experiences that you go through life. And when you don't learn from those experiences, then those experiences always return. Because you did not overcome those experiences. So they continue to repeat itself because you actually are creating those experiences. And so what I really want to really cover some things today to help you explain the awesomeness of God's plan of what he has even to the very end of all creation. And I don't even know how much time I'm going to have to get how far we want to get, but I want to go as slow as possible because I want you to comprehend it. I want to read Philippians. I want to go to Philippians just for a minute, and I just want to read that to you just for a minute, and then I want to expound on it because this is what we're going to base it on. Because it really stood out to me When I was reading this week, or a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to start we're going to start in the beginning, before even anything was created. And then we're going to go from there. But what I want you to see is what Jesus said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. We got to go to verse 4 first. Look not every man on his own things. These own things could be your own situation, your own problems, your own lack of needs, your own promises that you're waiting for, your own loved ones. But he's saying here, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And there goes that word things again. Some of you will have to get the tape on things, because this is even stems from the word things. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So this is what we really, really want to expound on. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That one little sentence can build a whole big major message on it. Because we're going to talk about the mind of Christ. We're going to talk about the attitude of Christ. We're going to talk about how he really was able to receive the power without measure. You see, the Father loved him so much that he gave him his power. Clean this for me, please. Gave him his power without measure. He had the fullness of all that God was. And the Bible says, as he is, so are we in the world. So I'm going to show you why we lack and have not obtained what he is wanting us all to obtain. I want to show you what Christ had in the beginning. We know that God is spirit. We know that the Father, I also found out, has a soul. In the scriptures. Interesting. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I got to stop there just for a second. When was Christ equal with God? God is the beginning. And so God created him. The first son. He is the firstborn. And he is the first one that God created before anything else was created. The world was not created. Everything that you see outside of you was not created. Only the one, number one, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth, God created himself a son that looked like him, and that he was equal to God. He made him equal because Jesus was spirit in the beginning with the Father. So he did not find it robbery to be equal with God because he was spirit at that time. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I hope you hear what I'm saying. So here is Jesus, equal with God. So God creates a son, but then God tells the son to create all things. So through Jesus, because you see, in God is the source of everything. You see, what was in God is what came out of him. And God created his first son that came out of himself. So I begin to really see that is what is in you is what comes out. So basically, it's what is in us is what keeps being created. But you see, in God, he is righteous and he is holy. And in him, he is full of light. And in him, there is no darkness. So that's why when he said, let there be light, there could only be light. Because that's all he was light. He could, nothing else could come out but what he was. I hope you get as excited as I'm getting, because I'm telling you, when we get through this, you're going to really see what needs to change in you and me. So that everything that came out of God, you have to understand that when he spoke Christ, he was spirit. And then he said, okay, son, I'm a creator. Start creating. You start creating. So the Bible says in Colossians that through Jesus Christ, he created all things. He created the thrones. He created the principalities. He created the worlds. He created everything. He spoke it and he created it. It came out of himself because he came out of God. And so he was spirit. So everything that came out of Christ was still coming out of God because it was all coming from the same source. So everything consists of Christ. And everything sums up in Christ. And so everything was created by him, and everything was created for him. So if everything was created by him, and everything was created for him, I can really understand why everything came out of him, and everything is going through him, and everything has to go back into him. And how is that going to happen? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Now, oh, Lord. In the beginning in the Garden of Eden, there was no death. There was no diseases. There was no fear. There was no doubt. There was no unbelief. There was no pride. There was no ego. Because in the beginning, everything was in harmony. And in the beginning, there was nothing but life. And in the beginning was nothing but the kingdom of God. And God created man. And he began to create a people to be like him in his image and his likeness. And so there were people in the kingdom of God that was in the likeness of God and in the image of God. And he said, as long as you eat of the tree of life, as long as you eat and feed off of my wisdom and feed off of my understanding, the only thing that's ever going to come out of you is nothing but the continuation of the kingdom of God. Now, God has given you the resources because he's given you the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within. And so basically, everything that God created was a thought. But that thought had to be said. Basically, he couldn't just stand there and be thinking. He said, let there be, and there was. And so basically, when he spoke it and it was a thing, it took time to take on form. Jesus was spirit with the Father in the beginning, and he was creating everything, and he was equal with God. I want you to see what equal means, having the same quantity, measure, value as another. That was before when he was spirit. This is where he was. That was the glory that he had with the Father. No wonder he wanted to go back. He wanted to go back to that glory. Not the glory that he walked here on the earth, which was a glory of God, but he was going back to the glory that he had before. You see what I'm saying? So equal means
And this is what, oh Lord, this is what God is doing. He is creating a people to be perfect, like Him. And if you look up that word perfect, it means to fulfill God's ultimate. To fulfill God's ultimate, that means that everything that was perfect in the beginning will eventually end up being perfect again. Because He is not going to let anything not be perfect. Because you see, it's man that brought death in the world. It's the fall of Adam that brought all the diseases in the world. It's the fall of Adam that brought all the sickness in the world. It wasn't God. It was man rebelling against God's ways. Man's rebelling against God's word. Man's rebelling against God's commandment. When we rebel and we disobey, what we're doing is we're cutting ourselves off from the lifeline. Because God doesn't operate except through His word. He doesn't operate except, and everybody else is reading all this other stuff and they won't read the word. That's why everybody gets into error, because they don't understand God's ways and His word. They don't get the balance. They're all searching when it's all right here in this love book right here. So the basically says, being the same as identical to the value, in value, having the same privileges, statuses, or rights. And that's what Jesus had in the beginning as spirit, as the Christ. He had all the same privileges as the Father. He was equal as the Father. And He performed as the Father. That's why in Galatians it said that He created all those things. And how much we can see the Father seeing that He created a son. No wonder fathers get excited when they have a boy. When they have a son that looks like them. It says here, having the same privileges, statuses, or right, being the same for all members of group, gave every player an equal chance. I got this in the dictionary, believe it or not. Gave every player an equal chance to win, which He has given that to all of us. We're winners. We're not losers. We're all winners. Okay, having qualities such as strength or ability necessary for a task or situation, one that is equal to another. The bottom line is, Christ was equal to the Father, but He did something. I want to show you what He did. He gave up what He had. He gave it up. Back to Philippians. It says, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. So what happened was, He was stripped of His glory from the beginning. He was willing to lower Himself down. And you see, if you want power, that's the only way you get it. You got to come down. Because He was spirit, what do? He had to take on form. Why? Because God wanted to show man His ways. God wanted to show man what He looked like. God wanted to show man how He behaved. God wanted to show man His attributes, His nature, His love, His compassion, His goodness. He wanted to reveal to man power. And He was going to do it through His firstborn, the beloved Son. So Jesus was willing to be lowered down into this lower form because He was spirit. And then when He came into the womb of Mary, we know He was a holy thing. And so basically we're going to get into that in a little bit later on. But that holy thing was a word that came out of the Spirit of God from the angel. And so notice that it was a holy thing. So every word that comes out of the mouth of God is a holy thing. And that holy thing, you have to really hold it very precious. Because the only way, if God gives you a word, then the only way that that can be fulfilled is you really have that conception and you receive it. When you receive it, basically you have to believe it first. You have to believe it first. Then you have to receive it. Receive it means to take it. It's yours. it's yours. And then you have to conceive it after you receive it. Conception is when it gets in the heart, it gets in the mind. And how you can know that you have conceived it is that individual knows what he's saying is true. No matter what the obstacles are, they know that what God has said to them is true. They have settled it within themselves. You have to learn to settle these things within your being when God says something. No matter what everything else goes around you, you have to know that God said it. And you know that it is his word. But what happens for a while is we would get doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief causes you to draw back. We'll get into that later on. Doubt and unbelief is wavering. One day you believe, the next day you don't. Because basically, if you can understand that God is a supernatural God, and we're living in a supernatural realm, you see, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Now, the world, they look at the things which are seen. And you see, God looks at the things which are not seen. And God also, he says things even though they're not. Because you see, God is faith. That's all he is. He is faith. Every word that he spoke, it wasn't there. It didn't exist. Nothing existed outside of himself. But everything that he spoke came out of him. And so that resource that was in himself, he spoke it. It was a thing, and then it took on form. It took time, and then he said, he saw. And we taught this before, but I'm just still trying to lay a foundation here. So I started thinking about this because I really saw what Jesus did. He lowered himself. He lowered himself. He came down. He was stripped from that glory. Adam was stripped from that glory. He was spirit in the beginning when God created the first corporate that he created, they were in the same glory. And then he spoke to Adam and he said, call all these animals, give them a name. Again, he's saying, be like me, create, create, create. You're my co-creator, create, create, okay? And so he was giving all the names to all these people. I think he did a good job. A snail is definitely a snail. Snake is definitely a snake. Creepiest thing you've ever seen. A deer. Just think about that. How he chose those names. How did he choose that? Because he was one with God. And so every source that he was speaking, it was coming out of the source that was within him, which is the kingdom. So he wasn't saying in his own words. He was saying what he was hearing. And what he was hearing, he was saying. And Jesus began to learn that because he began to understand this is why he had so much power. And we've shared this with you before. He had so much power. That's why he was a man of few words. Because basically, he understood that he was only to say what he heard the Father tell him to say. And when he would say what the Father would say, it had power and effect to it. And that's where it came. Because everything that he heard from the Father, then you know for a fact that that word can't fall to the ground. And you see, the reason he was given the power without measure, the Bible says that all his words came out of the Spirit. Didn't come from the carnal mind. Didn't come from the emotions and the feelings. Didn't come from the sense realm, none whatsoever. He was always hearing from the voice of the Father. He was one with God. But he had to grow up into that, like me and you, because he lowered himself down into another form. Adam had to be lowered down in another form because God said, in order for you to multiply and to replenish the earth, in order for you to replenish and share my kingdom with other people, because there's other people out there that are in darkness, ignorance in their own mind, lack of the truth of God, because they do not have God's truth. They don't understand the truth of my kingdom. And so therefore, I'm telling you, Adam, guard your garden, guard the mind, feed off of the tree of life, and multiply. Replenish the earth. Replenish and multiply. And fill the whole earth. Fill the whole earth with what? The kingdom of God. The gospel of the good news. Fill the whole earth with what? Nothing but peace, love, and joy, and compassion, and gentleness, and patience. To fill the whole earth with all who God is. And so basically, what happened was, Adam, if you look at the scriptures, he said, I will ascend. I will ascend and be like God. You see, the only way that you ascend is to descend. So basically, what Christ did, Lord have mercy, the reason he was given so much power, he humbled himself. He humbled himself and he became a servant to God. He became a servant unto the Lord. He humbled himself even to the cross. He humbled himself to do the will of the Father. He said, I came here to do the will of my Father. He had an understanding why he was here. He was here to do God's will. He was willing to love the Father more than his mother and his dad. He was willing to love the Father more than his brothers and sisters. He was willing to love the Father more than his friends and the disciples. He was willing to love the Lord more than anything else because he knew he had a destiny. But he also didn't have a destiny. He wasn't focusing on himself. That wasn't what he was here for. You see, God gives you his power, not for you. Well, yeah, it equips you, yes. You do need it because that's the only way you can walk with him is the Word and the Holy Spirit and the power of God. But basically, he gives it to you for others. Now, one thing I've noticed in order how to release power, God taught me a long time ago, and I'm not finished with this part yet. He taught me a long time ago down at Lorton Prison. We would go down there, and they're just singing all these songs, and they were all in their emotions and their feelings and screaming and shouting, that if God spoke, you couldn't even heard him. You couldn't have heard what he said. And God taught me a long time ago, he said, take that little auto harp and just start strumming, and my anointing will come up on it. And the only thing that I require of you, Joyce, is to focus on me and surrender to me. If you want the power of God to come out of you and to be released out of you, there has to be a surrender of yourself to the Father. When you surrender to the Father, then that's what happens is it hit others and they'll catch on and they'll start surrendering to the Lord and basically the power begins to escalate in a group. You see, this is how the power of God operates. People can come in and they can sense the presence of the Lord. But the presence of the Lord does not deliver the way the power does. The power of the Lord is what gets to the source. Get that right. Yes. The power of the Lord is what breaks the yoke. The power of the Lord is the anointing. And so through the praise and the worship, the anointing is arising. It's ascending and the power is coming out. And it starts coming out and escalating. And you can tell when that is broken off of people. That's why when we sit here and we sit quietly, what is he doing? He's setting the captives free. He's ministering to creation all over the world. That's why we say we have to become as one, as a unity. Blessed are the brethren that are one and in unity. When one person's sitting there and thinking about what they're going to cook for dinner when they go home, or one is thinking about a loved one that's there, and you're going to come here sometimes and there's going to be thoughts. Because of experience that you had before you got here. But then we learn to get rid of those thoughts before we get here. Right. And then that's why we are really one and we can get in there. And as we are one, that's getting totally. Turn your eyes on Jesus. It's like when you turn your eyes on him, the things in this world grow strangely dim. Your situations, you forget about them. Your problems, you forget about them. You forget about them. You're just surrendering. And when you surrender, there is a gush.